Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
UEFA Champions League football is streaming on Paramount Plus. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration is underway, with the biggest stars, top teams, and craziest fan bases across Europe. Watch every game from the group stage through the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona, and more in football's biggest club competition. So don't miss a single sweat-soaked second of regulation time, stoppage time, and extra time, and stream every match of UEFA Champions League live, exclusively on Paramount+.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new edition of KEF Podcast, powered by Touchline Media. I just want to start off by quickly thanking everyone for coming to a live event, live show. It was a fantastic show. Certain team from North London got dunked on, and yeah, I don't know if you listened to the recording, but yeah, it was an absolute madness. But yeah, it was great to see some of you, our listeners. It's great to see everyone, and it was a great event. And yeah, we'll get into it. But I've got one of my co-hosts, or the regular host of the show, should I say, in Chris, and Chris has got a few words for us. Indulge us, Chris. Indulge us.
Charlemagne, are we live?
We live.
Charlemagne, are we live?
First of all, before I quickly cut this pipe bomb and go, I'm going to put over, the second in command at the moment on KEF. Peter has been doing an absolutely stupendous job in recent weeks hosting whilst I've been dealing with the mountain of work I've been having to get through at work. So he's been absolutely smashing it. Massive kudos to him. Seeing him wrestling the Indies and coming into hosting where he is now. It's, you know, it's like a proud son and his proud father watching his only son do it. So, first of all, there's that. Also, a massive shout out to Sim, one of our day one patrons who I saw at the live show. Got him a drink. You have to support the patrons at all possible times. A massive thanks to Usman, a Real Madrid fan who's been on some of our preview pods as well. It was great to see those guys. And yeah, man, definitely if you ever get the chance to come to one of the live shows. I mean, I made it down all the way from Wolverhampton, so there's no excuse for the guys in London not to come. It's a vibe. It's absolutely fantastic. And just do your best to attend. But yeah, I've come on for 5 minutes and 5 minutes only today, just to cut a quick promo. As we saw last week, two people were left out of Liverpool's Champions League squad. It wasn't even last week. We saw it on Sunday. We saw it literally on Sunday before we went to the live pod. We had a round committee meeting about it as we were, you know, sipping on a few drinks and, you know, watching certain teams from North London get battered everywhere they go. And of course, Naby Keita and Oxlade Chamberlain. I'm not even going to focus on Ox because it is what it is at this point with that guy. It's a damn shame. I wish him the best for wherever he goes next season. But I want to focus on one guy and one guy only. The £52 million man. The man we pre-ordered. The man we put on Klarna. Naby Keita. This guy, yeah? How the hell this guy has stands on Twitter, I will never know. I will never, ever, ever understand. You would genuinely think he was the second coming of Steven Gerrard, the way that the people go on about him. He's good, but he is not that guy. He is not that guy, and he's proven he's not that guy. And we have now got to a stage where he pushed in the last week of the transfer window leave. Yeah. His camp were putting out all sorts of feelers for him to kind of get out. Didn't happen, didn't materialise. And Klopp, to Ashley's credit, has clearly shown a bit of balls by saying, who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah.
Who the hell do you think you are to try and force a move from this football club? And now we've seen we're in the midst of a crisis. This is a time where, you know, if he had his shit together, he could, you know, Aomide, rise it, Naby. Come on, take control of the midfield and really earn that new contract. But no, man. No, he's not. He's not done anything. He's got a mysterious injury yet again. It's a mystery box of injuries.
You don't think he's injured? Or if you do think he's injured, there's a bit of like weird, like hokey pokey about it. And he's just maybe not happy with the club and the club are probably not happy with him or... What are you thinking?
I think it could be. I find it very interesting that obviously all the Champions League games are in this big clump from now till the end of October, I think, is it? Yeah. Or November. So it's very specific for him to kind of be then he won't be available for that from now till November. So that's a long period of time. That's almost 3 months. You basically say this guy isn't going to play. He's obviously not going to the World Cup. So again, it's not like he's not going to get run into the ground. I just think it's come to a situation with this guy, and you know, it's just little things about him as well. I mean, you know, he knew he was coming to the club. He didn't learn English. It's little stuff like that, man. You know, when you're meant to be this next big thing, and you invested a lot of money, we invested a lot of time in this guy, trying to bring in new physios to get him fit and healthy, get him back on the pitch, and try and make him the best possible version of himself he can be. He clearly just doesn't want it. It's mad that he stands on Twitter wanting more than he does, clearly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's time for this man to go. Just leave. Honestly, when January comes, if we can get any value for him, I will take it. If it's 5 million quid, 6 million quid, 7 million quid, I will take it. Just get him off our hands at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I think it's definitely frustrating because, obviously, Klopp included them when he was talking about our midfielders at the start of the season. We've got 8 midfielders and included Knox, and included Keita. And they're saying that, you know what I'm saying, that Haku need any more or whatever. He might have been lying, he might have been telling the truth, whatever you want to think of it. But now two of them, we're not going to use them in the Champions League until, God knows, January or February, at the minimum.
Yeah.
So that's almost half a season, which is just, that's mad to me.
Yeah, but maybe they're not available to then. Who knows? If they're not available, but if they've left them out, has someone taken their place or is it left out? Eh?
Rajatić and Arthur.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it makes sense. Because I don't know when they're going to come back. Well, especially Ox, I don't know when he's back. And we're in like, what?
Sam, how do you feel about Naby?
Yeah, I washed my hands of him probably last season. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm frustrated with him. I feel like I've spread that vocal on the pod last time. I just think, I agree with you. 7 million, whatever we can get for him, just get him off the books, man. Because it's just pointless. We've been waiting for this guy for so long. He's got a number 8 shirt. He's never fit. When he is fit, he drops off the stairs off the coach coming into the ground. And then next minute, he's not even in the squad. So if it's just a joke now, I'll be honest with you. And what he come out with to say, oh, he's not happy, that was the biggest thing for me. I'm thinking to myself, what? You're not happy? You got to be kidding me. So, yeah, man, I'm done with him, mate. I'm done with him.
Mark, I mean, you had some Naby stocks. Are you still got some? How are you feeling?
No, same with Glam, man. I've washed my hands of him. Like, and as you know, I've defended this guy from pillar to post. Hopefully I'm loud enough. Is that calm, yeah?
Yeah, it's cool.
Right, cool, yeah. I've defended this guy from pillar to post, man. I was probably the CEO of Naby Fan Club before Yak came in, but nah, he hasn't performed well enough for me. And the fact that he has the cheek and the gall to say, you know what, if I'm dropped at United, that's a big game for me. Like, who the fuck are you, fam? Like, you haven't even performed to a level. Like, you're not even better than the people that were starting. You're not better than Henderson, who I fucking think is cheeks this season. But you haven't performed to as high a level as Hendo was performing in his pomp. You haven't performed better than Fabinho at any point in your career. You haven't performed well, maybe in Germany, innit? But you know, we don't really rate them German Bundesliga dorks. Shout out to Julian and Elliot as well. Like, Elliot's coming in, he's shown you up on several occasions. He performed against Chelsea in what was his first big start last season, got injured, come back from injury now, a very, very long-term injury, and is still outperforming you, outperforming anything I've seen from you. So, nah, I'm with the mindset of we should have moved him in the summer. And to be honest, let me even say what I said to you, man. I would have released Ox and Keita. I would have just taken the losses, released Ox and Keita. We would have lose maybe 30 million potentially that we'll get on them. By the looks of it, we probably won't get anything for them anyway because we're probably going to leave on freeze in summer. So why not release them, get them off the books, get those wages off the books, and then you have open space to bring in midfielders, and Klopp won't be saying the lies about 8 midfielders anymore because now it would be 6 midfielders and we clearly need another one.
For sure. I think losing a 30 million or 35 million and a 52 million midfielder on a freeze in the summer is just, I think, yeah, that's not very great business. But Chris, anyway, you got anything more for us?
No, I think you're all doing a fantastic job. It was fantastic seeing you all the weekend. Need to do it more often. I'm going to jump off. But of course, before I do, if any Nabi Keita fans want to disagree with me, you know where to find me. It's at Christian, K-R-I-S-H-A-N, underscore Mamba24 on Twitter. I'm going to be busy tomorrow, but I can reply on Thursday. So, you know, let's get into it then. Let's have a little tussle there, you know what I mean? Quick, like.
Love that.
But yeah, you guys roll safe, be calm, and I'm looking forward to listening tomorrow.
Cool.
Peace.
All right. Yeah, as Chris said, yeah, let's get back into it, back to our normal scheduled program. And yeah, I just want to also remind any listeners that are listening maybe first time, just to subscribe to our Patreon. As little as £3 a month, you have great, fantastic content. And also follow us on our Twitter socials, Instagram as well. And yeah, let's get into it. I want you guys to cast your mind back to last Wednesday when we played Newcastle. So I think we just came back off a 9-0 win off Bournemouth. We're kind of thinking, oh, it's Bournemouth, but it's a good win. It's a good show. Obviously, we had Newcastle at home. They had a couple of injuries. I know Saint-Maximin was out. Callum Wilson was out. Bruno Guimarães was out. Alexander Isaac got his first start. We'll touch on it quickly, maybe a short summary. Mark, I'm going to come to you firstly. How did you think that first half went? I want you to cast your mind back. Obviously, it was scored. It ended at halftime 1-0 to Newcastle with Isaac debut goal. What was your thoughts on Liverpool's performance in that first half of the Newcastle game? You're on mute, yeah.
It was a while ago, yeah, so I'll try and remember. From what I remember, we played quite well in that first half. And although we weren't creating clear-cut chances, it seemed like we were dominating the ball quite a lot. But you could always see the threat of Isaac getting in behind. And it was clear with the goal. I feel like Elliot was playing well, from what I remember. Because it was such a while ago, I'm not 100% sure who else played well. But it was one of those games where you could tell that Newcastle were going to waste a lot of time. They were going to do their shithousery tactics, similar to something that Gerrard did against us when we played Villa and the ball was in play for about 60 minutes. So there was a stat that the ball was only in play for about 53 minutes and 50-something seconds, which is absolutely mad.
Yeah. And Glam, I want to come to you onto the Isaac goal. Obviously, Isaac gets a goal on his debut. He's obviously there. I think he's a record signing. And there's been a lot of controversy about whose fault it was. Van Dijk's fault was it Henderson for kind of poking a toe, Fabinho for not following Isaac, Trent for not shuffling up. But talk to me about that goal. And is it kind of like a collection of mistakes, or are you blaming one person? Or yeah.
You got froze there. Sorry, guys. Boy, I'll be honest with you. I'm gonna blame. Well, Fabinho was definitely involved.
Yeah.
I say Fabinho because actually he was blaming. Well, Henderson's shitty toe pole.
I don't know what the hell that was.
That was another assist. But Fabinho, like, because Van Dijk got dragged out, and I think with Van Dijk, he dragged out position. That's one thing, but at least he stuck to his man and he kept moving. So he's out of position. Someone's filled in Fabinho. So we got two at the back. We've got Gomez and we've got Fabinho. When the ball's played, Fabinho steps out and just doesn't even look at Isaac's run. So I think for Gomez's side, it was too far for him to come over when he had a man behind him. But again, it's another goal we're talking about a collective of errors from our shape. And that's what it was. It's always with devolving the midfield and then the centre-half. And if I summarise it, communication, bro.
Thanks.
It's communication, man. Because, do you know what I mean? There's too many people involved in that to say, oh, yeah, that man. We could pick out any one of them and say, you know what, you should have done that. So it's communication, man.
Yeah, before we go on quickly, let me just get into that goal as well, innit? I feel like let's even rewind to before the ball was played. It was Trent's error, which was absolutely atrocious. What game are you watching, by the way? I saw your face.
PSG Juventus. Mbappe just scored a banger still.
Well, you know, I'm trying to watch it on BBC4, yeah? So BBC4.
It's BT Sport 5. BT Sport 5.
Okay. I say for that.
Carry on.
Anyway, going back to the goal, yeah. Going back to the goal, fucking... Trent gives away the ball needlessly, and that's something that we've been seeing from Trent for
We're going to have to come on to that later. I'm sorry. We're going to have to come on to Trent.
Yeah, like, Trent has been absolutely atrocious. Like, his ball usage, and somebody said, and I think, I don't really want to say it without giving credit, but sorry, I can't remember who said it, innit? Mariah passed it on or something like that and said, Bruno's basically, so Trent is basically Bruno playing at right back at the moment. Like,
fuck
it. Crazy. No, picking up like similar positions in the midfield, yeah, and then losing the ball the same way Bruno loses the ball, and we're getting counted on. Like, yeah, it's looking very, very nasty at the moment, but. Yeah, he loses the ball, and I remember going in on Henderson, saying Henderson's our captain, he should be communicating, he sees the whole pitch, he should be able to, like, do something there, do something better, communicate better. But shout-out to Van Dijk for tracking Amaro and trying to engage. I still feel like he could have got back into position, but he'd done what he should have been doing by himself. Robertson comes over as well, and shout-out to him, he follows the run of Trippier, which, again, I've been cussing Robertson throughout the season, but that is a good thing from him. But Henderson, that fucking toe pop was absolutely shit. Like, this is the second time now where you've had a mistake that's led to a goal. And I guess in contrast to the Man U game, yeah, it didn't cost us this time, but these repeated mistakes will carry on to, well, will cost us at some point within this season. And they've already cost us already, innit? Like, we can't keep going behind. We can't keep conceding shit goals. We can't even keep conceding shit chances because at the moment, our defence isn't playing to the standard that we expect of them. And you're just putting unnecessary pressure on them. But Fabinho, like, fucking hell, Fabinho. Fabinho, like, replaced Van Dijk, yeah. Like Glam said, yeah. And when I was watching the goal back, I was going absolutely mad. So he's right next to Isaac when it happens, when the pass comes in.
Yeah.
Then the pass goes to Longstaff and he just steps out.
In. He gets drawn in. I don't know why he draws.
What's he doing, bro? Like, he just wanders off. And if he stays where he is, yeah, Isaac probably doesn't have the time and space to, like, compose himself. But 100. He just wandered off.
And the thing is, where he kind of gets drawn in, Henderson is in that position anyway. So why are you both going into the ball?
Go there at all. I don't understand what he was doing.
And I'm saying communication is ridiculous.
Nah, it's crazy. Like, at the moment, we have a lot of bozos in our team, or people performing like bozos, innit?
Yeah.
We just need to get them to switch on, man. Like, for me, maybe it might be, ooh, unlucky on Baps. I mean, it might be, like, a thing where they may need to, like, just have a bit of competition. Like, if we had a DM that is playing to a level, and we could just swap in for Fab, swap in for Trent, swap in for other players that are not playing to the level that we want, then they're kind of spurred and they have that rest to do what they need to do. So it'll be interesting to see what Klopp does with Napoli if he, like, decides to rest a few man, play a few man out of position. But let's see in it. I feel like that goal was a shambles and we definitely need to stop conceding chances the way we do at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. I think that competition for places, it's a good shout because I think when Trent has his performances and he's there, Wolfer, by the way, absolutely Wolfer, I think we'll touch on the Everton game. Someone like Milner comes in for him and then Milner does an even worse performance. So he knows he's fine the next game. You know what I'm saying? He knows he's cool because I just saw Milner put in a disaster class as well at right back. And then Robertson, the same thing. Robertson plays badly. Shimkas comes on for a cameo and Shimkas is even worse. Shimkas is playing like he's drunk. So these men don't really have competition for their places, really and truly. Fabinho as well. Henderson comes in. Henderson does an even worse performance. So even Fabinho playing badly is a better performance than Henderson is at its current time. But yeah, it's just a shame, really, that our senior players are not really in form and it's kind of costing us. But yeah, I think we'll touch on that. Some positive things, though. That second half, I felt... So, Elliot, I think Elliot had a fantastic game, that Newcastle game. He was literally running the show. He was very tenacious, like Mark likes to say about Elliot. He was winning the ball back and he was playing it forward very quickly, getting the ball, pulling around the corner. And yeah, I thought he was really excellent that game. And also Cavalier as well. He comes on and eventually gets the winner. Mark, you're someone who has a lot of stocks in Elliot and Cavalier. How impressed were you by their performance? And is it something that we can kind of look forward into in the future for them?
Yeah, man. I've been very impressed with Elliot. Ever since I've seen him burst onto the scene, like, he just seems like someone with a lot of composure for his age, a lot of technique for his age. And he works hard. Like, one of the things that I saw in the first three games of last season was the way he was working back. And obviously, for the Liverpool guys that watched preseason, yeah, we saw how the triangle of Trent, Salah and Elliot was interchanging so much. And they looked like such a fluid attack that nobody could really stop them. When they really got it going, yeah, they seemed to make things happen out of nothing. Mm. So I always knew Elliot would be somewhat a key cog if he was given a chance. And I felt like it has been long awaited down to the injury as well. But it's about time that he's starting as our right centre mid and we replace Jordan Henderson. In terms of Carvalho, yeah, prior to him signing, I only watched him a few amount of times, like maybe two times in the Premier League, yeah, when he first burst onto the scene. And then a few times in the Championship after I realised that we were going to sign him and the links were coming up. And he seems like a goals first guy. Like, and I remember saying this to you, Peter, that I thought like the way he adjusted his body for the Bournemouth goal was very, very striker-esque.
Yeah.
He doesn't even change his feet too much. He just like hops and hits the volley and it was pure and clean. Like, he's a good ball striker, as we can see from his two goals. And I feel like he's very active. I don't think he should be a starter for us yet because I feel like he still needs time to bed in.
Yeah.
I feel like he should be one of the first names coming off the bench because of what he offers in behind and how direct he is.
Yeah, for sure. I think with Carvalho, I would play him as a forward personally at this point in time just because I felt like you said, he's got that ball striking ability and that kind of composure in front of goal. And not many players have that, especially at that age as well. He seems to be very calm and composed. He doesn't really like snatch at things. He strikes things well. Like in all of the games he's played, probably barring Everton one, he's kind of had a chance or he's kind of struck like maybe the post or he scored a goal or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And the Newcastle game, that's a very good volley, you know. Like, I know it's close and it's what's called, it's not very far, whatever. But like to strike that, and he strikes that very well. I think it hits the crossbar and it goes in. Like a lot of men would have skied that. But he catches that so cleanly. But yeah, it's a great winner. Glam. Do you think we kind of robbed Newcastle there? Do you think that we deserve to win or nah? And kind of after the game, what was your kind of thoughts on the team? Did that win make you more confident, or did you just think we just kind of stole one here?
We deserve to win based on the fact their tactics of trying to time waste is ridiculous. Players were going down.
Yeah, Nick Pope and that, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously Joe Linton kicked going down 3-4 times. You still had 3 subs left, so I knew there's some bullshit right there. And we won the best way possible to get them back. But in terms of the gameplay, listen, the start that we've had, we just need the 3 points, if I'm honest with you. I weren't really too focused on the performance. The fact that we got the win was pleasing. And yeah, on the finish from Carvalho, yeah, it was a calm and confident finish by him. But other than that, mate, yeah, no, I was confident after the Newcastle game. I think, yeah, then we've got the derby coming onto it. Let's kick on.
Did you? I wasn't, you know. I'll be real. I was thinking, I just didn't see.
I was very confident still.
Was you? Do you know what? Okay, the reason why I wasn't confident was because the way they played in that Man United game was just so alarming to me. Like, if you can't get up for Man United, what can you really get up for? Like, at Old Trafford.
I think that might need a pause.
Oh, my bad.
If the thing is, though, the Man United game, everyone watch it, like, we was unlucky in terms of the chances that I've hit, their bar, their own goal, you know, it was unlucky. We just weren't clinical enough. And that's the issue.
But wasn't you scared about the intensity? The intensity wasn't there.
But you know what it was? Because we should, of Man United of normal was playing, get slapped up start of the season, we didn't need intensity. I'll be real. For me, it was a show up, how many you're going to get. That's how the game was. And that's our fault for downplaying it. I think if we treated it like a must-win sort of thing, but no, I just think we went into it as most fans expected, and I think the complacency got to us because they were up for it.
Mm.
They were up for it, and that's what caught us out. So with that, I think that should have springed us into life where we should say, you know what, oh, fucking hell, like, come on. Like, getting beat by Man United right now is, like, flipping, I don't know, one of the lowest things you could probably have as a footballer. And, you know, the fact that happened and you didn't react, you know, it says it all, bro. Says it all.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know. I was thinking, how are they going to get off Everton? Obviously, Everton, they're a worse team than Man United, but like I knew they would be up for it. Like, the players seem to still be playing for Frank Lampard, and that's one thing that I can say for them. They're not a very good team, but the players still seem to kind of be fighting for him, and obviously they kind of maybe, I don't know, the Everton fans are kind of behind them. So yeah, I was a little bit worried, but anyway, yeah, let's get on to the Everton game. So it was at Goodison Park. The lineup, bloody hell. When I saw the lineup, I was a mixture of like, I was excited, but I was also scared as well. I was thinking, oh, okay, the Hoopers are playing, like the Jugadors are playing, but I was also thinking, whoa, these young men, like, yeah, I didn't want them to drown. But the lineup, so I think the lineup was Alisson, Trent, Gomez, Van Dijk, Shimkas left back. Then it was Fabinho sitting with Cavalier and Elliot as the 2 8s, the two young boys as the 2 8s, and then it was Salah. And Nunes comes back to return on a derby from his suspension, and then obviously Diaz left wing. Mark, that lineup, when you saw that lineup, what was your thoughts?
I was so frazzled, man.
In a good way or bad way?
In a bad way, bro.
I swear.
I love them mutes, yeah, but like you alluded to, innit, Cavalier shouldn't be playing in midfield, especially in a derby. Like, he's going to get eaten alive. That's what my thought process was anyway, and it proved to be right, innit? Like, he got injured, got a little dead leg and had to come off. But for me, you needed some steel in there. That's a game that I would have probably paid Milner. Mm. And then I was arguing with Julian throughout the week about, you can't start Nunes in a derby because he's going to be rattled. I didn't think Klopp was silly enough to do it. Or in fact, you know what? Not silly enough, brave enough to do it, because you just want to protect the guy, do you know what I mean? Like, he's just come off the red card. You don't want to put him into the cauldron that is Goodison Park on a derby day, innit? So I thought we'll start with Firmino. And Tsimikas, yeah. So Tsimikas, yeah. His start to the season has been absolutely atrocious for me, innit? So I don't know why man then were calling for him to start. Robertson is by far the best defensively. And although Robertson's use of the ball in the final third, he's a lot to be desired, yeah. I think his defensive ability weighs up so much, well, stacks up way better than Tsimikas's.
Yeah.
Because you're playing against, oh shit, you're playing against Gordon, you're playing against
Gray,
you're playing against, I thought it was going to be McNeil in it, and I thought, those three pacey lot, yeah, will test you. Like, they'll interchange of it, and Tsimikas will be all over the place, isn't it? So, I didn't really like the lineup, but I thought Klopp was brave, and he does these things where he tends to change against Everton, because I don't think he really rates Everton.
Yeah, it did seem like he was rotating the team, didn't it? Because playing someone like Shimkas, playing Cavalier, playing Nunes, and not playing Firmino, who Firmino was obviously in form, scored against Newcastle. I've got to say his goal as well against Newcastle was a good finish from him. But yeah, like, I think he seemed to rotate the team, obviously, ahead with thinking about Napoli, obviously away on Wednesday. So yeah, glam. The start against Everton, again, left a lot to be desired for me, man. Left a lot to be desired.
Really? The start was very, how can I put it? Very...
End-to-end?
Yeah, open. Very open. And, right, brother scored again. But, yeah, very open. And I thought to myself, you know, it's Everton, though, again. Everton are not a good side. Jamie, I see they started, obviously, great.
But, man, neither are we at the moment. This is what you're forgetting to realise.
No,
but
the thing is, it's not about either. We've got enough. Come on, we've got Diaz, Nunes, and Salah starting. Then you've got the bench. Yeah, it's like the bench looks healthy, not full of kids. Goodison Park. We can win. We should be winning this game. And what I didn't want is it turning into a derby. Now, I know it sounds silly saying that because it is a derby. But if you know what I mean, I didn't want it turning into a derby. Because when it's a derby, it's like forms out the window.
I think you need to expect that, and that's why I would have known.
Yeah, but you know what? When the last time, the last time they gave us a good game was how long? So I weren't expecting that because I know they're poor. But, you know, obviously with the midfield, I was again, I was happy with it. I was fine with the midfield. I didn't think we needed Amir. I get why we obviously played Carvalho and that limited options. Arthur on the bench. But the start to the game, yeah, I weren't worried. Only when they obviously had to open the chances, I was just getting like, whoa, 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 whoa. And that's when I started to obviously get a bit worried.
So then the chances, I think it was the first one I kind of remember was Tom Davis. I think Tom Davis striking a post.
Yeah.
And then we hit the post right after, innit? I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, so not the Diaz one, the volley. And then...
It was the Nunes volley and then...
Yeah, Diaz, straight after.
Yeah,
that's when I'll be honest with you, that's when I knew, and if I say, that's when I knew I don't think we're going to score today.
Mm-hmm. So the Davis chance, go back to it. Oh, I think it was a Gomez mistake, I think.
Yes, it was. It won't cut in, and he should have scored.
Davis. Yeah. And he kicks over his outside of his foot, then he hits the post. You kind of get lucky. And then, yeah, that, I think that kind of jolts us up and that kind of wakes us up. And we kind of have a chance of our own. The Nunes kind of volley was very Torres-esque against Blackburn. I think if you remember the volley over his shoulder and just striking it. Great save from Pickford. And then straight after that, Diaz picks a rebound, does like a fake shot, then hits the inside of the post too. So, it was a strange one because, Mbappe just scored again. He's just, yeah.
Yes, you are fake, fam.
Yeah, they're looking crazy this year. They're looking mad. But, so I want to come to the Nunes performance. Let's touch on Nunes. Obviously, Klopp starts on him, starts with him this game after suspension. Like Mark said, it was a very controversial, probably, thing to do, a very brave thing to do. What do you guys think of his performance? Because... in my mind, it's more of the same. And I felt like the same thing with the Crystal Palace first half as well, where he's active and he's getting chances. He's getting a lot of chances, but maybe he's just snatching at them or he's using the wrong technique. But it's kind of reassuring to me that he's getting those chances because it's like, okay, once he's kind of gets off the mark or once he kind of gets his confidence up, he's going to take these. And I think I can remember a couple of them where, like, I think maybe Shimkas Robertson kind of done like a low cross to him and then he kind of like, I think he tries to side for it, but really should have smashed it, and then he kind of miskicks it.
One and it goes out for a corner.
Yeah, but and I think so. Opposition fans are kind of laughing at this and kind of thinking, "Oh, he's very clumsy. Can't hold the ball. Look at his finishing." But to me, it's assuring that he's getting these chances because, it's like, even though this guy is not the best technically, even though he's not like, the maddest footballer, he causes havoc and. He's playing what against like a three at the back or whatever, and he's still getting chances. His movement's always there. But what did you guys think of Nunes' performance? Very hit and miss, but he got chances. I think that's what I would say. But what did you guys think?
I think it's hit and miss in general, isn't it? Like, I think he's on a knife edge of becoming extremely really good as a poacher.
Yeah.
His confidence leading him to be someone that snatches at everything for the foreseeable future, isn't it? And that could like affect him long term. I'm happy with his movement. I feel like he's getting in the right places. He's doing the right things. I think his link up even against Everton wasn't bad. There was no balloon touches or trampoline touches from what I remember. There was a couple times where he played Diaz on the break and it was a decent pass, nice weight pass.
Yeah.
But for me, what he's doing at the moment is making the easy things look extremely, extremely hard. Hard things look extremely easy, and I think that's the sign of an instinctive finisher. So the type of person you don't want to like think before they do something, you just want to put the ball in their feet and then just let them go off muscle memory. You know, like for me, the touch and volley is very reminiscent of one of his goals for Uruguay.
Yeah, I remember the goal. Yeah,
it's exactly the same thing, and that's I think I've seen it again for Benfica in a comp as well, innit? And if he's able to do that on a regular basis, then that's just him. That's the type of thing that he does. There was like a half volley that he did where the ball was behind him and like he hits it with his shin, but it was great technique, keeps it on target, keeps it low. And I just need to see more of that. And I need to see less of the snatching. I need to see less of the taking it with the wrong foot, wrong decision making.
Compose himself,
show a bit more of what we saw at Benfica and even what we saw against us, where he's able to have that aggression, take someone on one-on-one in Konate, who is very, very physically strong and fast, but still have great finishes and do offside goals that we saw against us and the goal that he did score.
Yeah, it's just a case of confidence. Glam, is it? Do you think, is there anything to be worried about with Nunes?
No, mate. No, not at all. I like him, man. I'll be honest with you, see, it's really cool pre-season, and then his first glimpse in the Community Shield, man, come on, he changed the game completely. Like, the whole aspect of the game and our direction. Fulham again, come on, a sub, got a goal, could have had two. Yeah, I mean, he got sent off at Palace, so this is his second game in a derby. I'm not worried at all. I think, yeah, he doesn't look the most comfortable on the ball, but I think he knows what he's doing. But he's got everything for me. Jeremy, you know, good. But I want to see him. I want to see his burst of speed in and behind strikers. Obviously, the last two games, obviously, they played a high line, but I want to see his pace at full pelt as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, that effort that Pickford just got to, that would have been a wonder goal if that went in.
Yeah.
Like, I just think he's always, regardless of how he's playing, he always looks like he's going to score a goal.
Yeah.
Like, as Marco said, header that he done, he went for a corner, should have done better. This is just match practice. But, you know, if he had not been suspended, he would have had probably two or three goals before that game anyway. So, yeah, I'm not worried at all, man. I just wanted to get more games under his belt and start scoring goals.
Yeah, for sure. I think people are being really harsh. I mean, he's only played in literally like three games, yeah. and this is, I think he's only started two of them. So, yeah, he's not really had much game time at all compared to like the other strikers. I got to touch on Cavalier quickly. I don't really want to be too harsh on him. I did feel like he drowned that game. Playing kind of eight against like the physical kind of presence of like a Unana, who's literally like, I don't know, 7 foot, whatever, French or whatever midfielder. I think he kind of struggled in that midfield. It's a tough one to come into, obviously, when you're 19, 20 years old, you're coming to like a Merseyside derby. I think on hindsight, I don't think Klopp would have played him there. What do you think, Mark?
I completely agree. Like, I don't think he was poor, but I just think he wasn't influential.
Yeah.
Like, when he was on the ball, there was like nice little touches, layoffs and stuff like that, but in that level for our midfield anyway, I need more from unit.
Yeah, for sure. But one person we can be harsh on is Trent, mate. And people know Trent, there's a couple of senior players that I'm kind of disappointed in. Trent, Fabinho, Robertson, Van Dijk, they started the season, I don't think it's been great. Trent, I'm one of his biggest fans, and I'll back him to the day. I still wouldn't swap him for any other right back. I love him to death, but man, oh boy, he's had a horrific, horrific start.
I would not stop him
for Reece James. What Trent does, especially with Trent at his pomp, there's no surprise there. Glam, with Trent, yeah. Okay, I'll use last season for example. The guy's breaking his own assist record and he's part of a defence that had the most clean sheets last season. What am I swapping there? Because he's had a couple of goals where he didn't swap back. We had like the most clean season, bro. He was part of a defence that had the most.
It's not a couple, but I'll be honest with you. He's a talented footballer. But unless we play.
But he's more than talented.
As a right wing back sort of thing. Mate, no, I don't want to know. It's not the same.
So, I think you cut him, Mark. What did you say?
I'm saying we've seen him at right back, right wing back for England. And it's not the same still. He needs to have that right back slot and he needs to be given the freedom to go forward. I just think, at times he's not protected in the same way that some right backs are protected because we see Reece James with a back five.
Yeah.
We also see, for example, when Saka was receiving the ball against Man United this weekend, they were doubling up on Saka. We don't double up with Salah at all. Like, Henderson should be the one that's doubling up. And now there's Elliot. Elliot should be the one that's doubling up to prevent wingers from isolating Trent. But we don't do it. We leave Trent behind a lot of times still.
But and the thing is, it's not embarrassing for me to say that Trent needs help or Trent needs to be covered because, like, the best players, you play them in a system that suits them. You know what I'm saying? You don't play Messi in a system where he has to track back and he has to track this and he has to... You play players in the best system that suits them. And the way we need to play Trent is having midfielders that can kind of cover him so that when he does what he does, we're not liable to it.
But
when he loses the ball, liable to it. And we're not doing that at the moment. And we're, you know what I'm saying? This is why, Glam, you feel like this.
No, it's not going to feel like this. I'm saying,
I don't think...
Even when we're playing well and we're fit, I'm always looking at Trent because I like my defenders to be defensive. I'm not, and sometimes he can defend well, but it's the body language, it's the consistent. For me, he hides a lot of the time. If you watch him closely, a lot of the time when they're attacking on the right hand side, he will drop behind a man for them to go forward, and that shouldn't be it. He should be the first point of call when they're coming on his side. I just think we're going to get in a situation where, because it's Trent, we're not going to drop him. No one's going to replace him. He's always going to play. He needs to sweat. Whether it's going out and buying another right back or this Randall guy will emerge as a wonder kid, I don't know. But he needs to sweat. Because as you said earlier in the show, he knows he's playing that game.
Yeah, the game I agree with that point, yeah.
He knows they know they're playing. So what's the point? What's the point? Why are you gonna improve, really, if you know you're playing? And on top of that, score a fucking free kick for once, bruv. Like all this techers you've got in this pinging. I ain't seen you score a free kick since we was on lockdown. I think it was against West Brom or something like that. I can't remember.
No, yeah, last week you scored West Ham. West Ham, I think.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Like get it going, bro. Like, come on, man. At least then I can say, you know what, yeah, we've got a dead ball specialist. But we haven't even got that, man. So, nah, man, I think we need to have a right back. I'm sorry.
I think we have got in terms of pressing.
I'm definitely not going to go as far as saying we need another right back. We've got Ramsey, yeah. And
We haven't seen Ramsey.
Wait, remember what I was saying at the live podcast? I was saying all I need is someone that can replace Trent and give Trent a bit of a rest, but at the same time still perform to a level that...
But we don't know if Ramsey can do that, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, we don't. So... ideally, I do want someone that can perform to a level that Trent may not start the next game because he might be, I guess...
For Trent, because obviously Nunes is good in the air, even obviously Jota, that's a weapon that we've missed. You know, we haven't had Nunes, we haven't had Jota. So crosses in the box have been a myth.
Yeah.
They've been a myth. That might bring up his assist rate and obviously add more use for him. Because we ain't got no one that really had us.
So when he's shanking in the box,
man, like I don't even think it's just that. Like everything he does has been very, very lazy, and I don't like it. Still,
but
like,
I do think that's a good point because when he is aimlessly, it looks like he's aiming across it in a box. But
yeah,
normally we would have like a Nunes or like a Mane or Jota that it would stick to, or they would kind of header it. But he's just shanking it at Firmino and Diaz, like. And these are players that they're not really known for the heading. I mean, Diaz is surprised with some of these headers this season, but like they're not really known like for the heading ability. And when you're shanking it at Firmino, it makes no sense. Like it just makes no sense. And yeah, I think I do have to criticize him because it's like I'm saying, it's the intensity to run back. Some of the counterattacks, when we lose it, when he loses it, he's not sprinting back. Like if you lost the ball, you got to be the one that sprints back. You got to be the one that kind of wants to win it back. And I don't see that same desire in him. And the way he's used of the ball recently has just been so poor. And yeah, like I just think he's not really being smart with it, and it's costing us because where he's just shanking it into midfield, teams are countering us, and we've actually conceded goals from it. So I think he's got really pattern up, and it's a shame that he doesn't have competition, so he can't really be dropped for a sustained period. But it's been really poor from Trent.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Yeah. Also, I think Fabinho's... Well, I think Fabinho's performances are not as bad, but for me, they're just like kind of 5 out of 10s. I don't know if you agree with this, but like Fabinho's performance, they're just like 4 out of 10s, 5 out of 10s, 6 out of 10s, 5 out of 10s, 6. And they're not really performances that you remember. But not every performance that you think, he's been shit or whatever. So, I don't know. I'm not really feeling Fabinho at the moment. I think he's still doing a better job than Henderson would do in that position, but it's still hard on for him. I don't know. Especially with playing like with Elliot and Cavalier. And I know his midfield partners have not been great, but yeah.
Yes, I think he does.
I think, mate, I'm ready. Yeah, go on, Mark.
I think he does need Thiago still. I feel like a lot of teams are pressing us high because we've had a lot of mistakes throughout the season, and we've allowed a lot of people like to get onto us. So teams are starting to press us high. We've seen it with Fulham, we've seen it with United, we've seen it with, I don't think Palace did, I don't think Bournemouth did, but even Everton were pressing us very, very high from our corners.
Yeah,
they are goal kicks, and I think it's because they know that if you get high enough and around Fabinho and he's having an off day, you might get something out of him still. But when Thiago's there, he always has somebody to pop it off to. Thiago's a little bit deeper than an Elliot Carvalho or Henderson or Milner would. It's because he's so comfortable on the ball. He knows that if he picks up the ball facing his goal and someone's behind him, he could probably spin them or probably make the right pass.
Yeah.
When yeah, Thiago, no, definitely. And I think we need to... The Artur should have got a few minutes on Saturday. I want to see what he can do, because I do like him when I was watching at Everton. I mean Juventus, and he's got Thiago's sort of style in playing in terms of passing. He's an intelligent player, so put him in there, man. I don't want to see Milner. Put him in there.
Yeah, I think like I was saying to Mark and all the other co-pendlers at the live show, I think if the Arthur signing proves to be a good one, that makes our life so much easier. In terms of, if Arthur, we could assign him for whatever the fee is, I think it's 37 million, and then we can, yeah, and then we could buy another midfielder next summer, and we don't have to integrate three or four midfielders at the same time, you know what I'm saying, when KL, Ox, and Milner all go. So hopefully the Arthur one turns out to be a good signing, but yeah, let's see. You reminded me, the fucking hell, Klopp. That Milner sub, Jesus is Lord. Put Milner up against Gordon. Are you okay? Yeah. You're actually okay. Like, what? That has to be one of the worst subs I think he's probably done in his time. Like, because it invited pressure. All of a sudden, obviously, Gordon knew that Milner couldn't hang with him. And then they just start panning us on that left-hand side. I mean, that counter-attack, Mark, he just dives in. Great. You can see that he's going to dive in from a mile off, but Gray just pops it over him.
You know, yeah. I actually had a sliver of hope that he was going to make it.
No way, man.
Oh, man.
Milner was trying to take that yellow card, man. He wanted that yellow card badly.
But somebody must bet on him. Like, he must have, like, a far distant cousin that they can't attach to him, yeah? That just constantly bets on Milner yellow cards. And that's what he does. He just
makes him happy. I can't lie. How Trent was playing, I did think, you know, yeah, that sub is needed. Milner's coming on. But fuck my life. If you could do a resub, I would have said, Trent, sorry, bro, I was wrong. Get back on, man. Because he was just out of his depth, man. Completely. Out of his depth completely.
Yeah, I think Klopp knew. As soon as he done a sub, because he even changed it and he put Gomez right back and Matic to come on centre-back and push Milner into midfield, that it was the wrong decision. Yeah. And it's not even an indictment on Milner. Like, I don't really like kind of, what's it called, being down on him, because the guy's like, what, 37, 38 years old? Like, that's tough to play in the Premier League at that age. And it's up to us. We're relying on him. We're relying on someone that old. You know what I'm saying? It's not his fault.
True.
It's not his fault at all. But yeah, and obviously, just to touch on the game, back up to the game, we did have more chances. I think Salah hits the post. Pickford makes a great save. Pickford makes a couple good saves, to be honest. And yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like we've done enough to win. We could have stole a win in the sense that we had enough chances to. But do I think we actually dominated the game enough and deserved to win in terms of like being dominant in the game? I'm not too sure.
Yeah, like I think they had a bigger chance than we did in the Morpay chance. Like that was a one-on-one basically.
Yeah.
Like just off to the right. And then, yeah, Pickford did make a couple great saves, but I think most of them were close to him, other than the Firmino one late. I think there was another Firmino one that was a bit of a decent save, but not anything magnificent.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was the Salah one that hits the post and like a little bit of a fingertip to it. But we could have stole it, like you said, innit?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, that would have been a great smash and grab if we'd done that against Newcastle ever. Because right now, it's about points. Obviously, after the weekend, results went our way in some form. But, you know, it's not disastrous. As I said, we look at it and you look at where we are from our start, top of the table, and we're, what, 6-5 games in. Listen, it's not... And we're not playing well. We've got players out. There's positives, man.
I think a positive, and we can touch on to Napoli game. Obviously, we've got Napoli Wednesday. So you've listened to pod, so it'll be today in the evening. It's away from home at Napoli's ground. And yeah, a positive that Thiago's back. Arthur's in the squad. So I think this can hopefully give the boys a lift. Curtis Jones hasn't travelled and Cavallo's got a dead leg. Mark. I think we've been to this ground a couple of times. We've had Napoli in our group stage. They had a number when Ancelotti was manager. We also beat them one of the times to kind of qualify with the Alisson save. I don't know if you remember. How are you feeling ahead of this our first match day one in the Champions League group stage? Are you more confident Thiago's back or are you still a bit, yeah?
Well, so I'm not really thinking too much about the game. I'm just thinking about, like, who starts. Like, we have so many injuries in midfield. We need to rest so many people. I'm unsure what the squad's going to be like. Obviously, Thiago's just come back, but you don't want to thrust him into the side and play 90 minutes. Because if he gets injured again, then we're in the same situation. You want to rest Fabinho, but who else can play six? Arthur, I've just seen Klopp talk about Arthur. He's had a conference around 7 o'clock and he basically said he's not ready and he may be able to give us some minutes, but not the whole game.
Yeah.
Rules of Arthur out. You don't want to play Elliot again and flog him into the ground, even though he's young and young players like to do that. You don't want to risk any injuries, especially him coming off the back of a long injury. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if we start Firmino, Diaz, Salah and Nunes and then do 4-2-3-1 because it looks like Klopp has been quite reluctant to do that from the start of games. But we'll see. We'll see what he does. I'm not too sure. In terms of the actual match itself, I haven't watched too much of Napoli in recent seasons. I've heard they've got this new winger that looks really, really good. I can't pronounce his name, so I'm going to call him KK. But yeah, apparently he looks really good and that may give Trent a bit of a test, which I think is needed. Like, he needs to perform well against one of these type of players that looks like an exciting young man.
And Glam, how are you feeling ahead of this game? Mark's just ruled everyone out, basically. All of them have been ruled out. So, yeah.
The first group game, obviously, you want to start off with a win, but I'm more focused on the Premier League, I'll be honest with you guys. You know what I mean? But I don't really care who starts and plays in this game. I'll be honest with you. I think we're home, right?
No, we're away. In Naples.
So yeah, so the fact that we're away, that ground, the last time we went there,
mate, it's a war zone. It's actually a war zone.
Hostile as hell.
That's what I'm saying.
Klopp knows that as well. So don't be surprised if obviously he might put in. I think probably Gomez might go right back and he might put Matip in that centre-half.
Yeah.
Nunes should start as well. Go with him. We're away from home. And, Arthur. He's played Serie A. He's played Napoli. He knows Napoli. Why not go with Arthur Melo as well?
I would love to see that, but...
Yeah.
Saying, I don't think so, still.
Sure. I think for me, it's going to be a tough place to go to. I think we've been there a couple of times and the ground is it's really old type of ground and the fans are just bare hostile. It reminds of that, just them kind of like old, like Greek, like Olympic, you know, them old, just old fashioned, like little, and it's just, yeah, it's really hostile place. So I'm expecting to see James Milner. He didn't start on the weekend, so he probably start. And you know about Klopp and his away games in the Champions League, he loves to start his war soldiers. So people like Milner probably start. I reckon Firmino probably starts as well because Firmino didn't start on the weekend. Robertson probably come back to the side. I don't think he does play a 4-2-3-1, you know. I'd be very surprised, Mark, if he opts to go to a 4-2-3-1 away from home in the Champions League. I think he probably goes for a 4-3-3. Probably Milner, Fabinho, Elliot, and then Diaz, Firmino, Salah. I think Matip may be coming back in, but yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see. Again, if you can get a win, I think that would be a big win that can kind of kickstart our season and can go into... I think we've got a tough run of fixtures. We can go into those type of games with a jolt of confidence. But yeah, I don't know if there's anything more that you guys want to touch on
Probably just, well, the fact that, as you said, we've got tough fixtures coming up.
Yeah.
I mentioned, obviously, I touched on the fact that we need to start just winning games now. You know, this bad start needs to get behind us. I think we get more players back. Jota's. I just think now we need to just Klopp needs to start focusing on who's fit and who's what's the best possible shape that we're gonna have, man. Because I'll be honest, I shouldn't be seeing Milner coming on. I don't care if it's 1-0 or 2-0 down. I just don't want to see Milner coming on. That trick is tired. It's so tired, man. So we need to just obviously give players that who are part of our future more game time. I don't know what's going on with Jones. I really don't.
Something's got a reoccurrence of his calf injury, and a lot of people have said, yeah, Gerrard got injuries when he was coming through, and it's just one of those things when you're growing in it, so it might not be an issue long term.
Yeah, I wondered if it's an issue with him and Klopp.
No, it's a re-injury. It's a re-injury.
Yeah, it's just a re-injury.
Okay, but yeah, other than that, nah, man. Let's just. I just want to be on a pod next time in a happier place, because freaking hell, man, I'm happy right now.
Yeah, I think it's very important that we get these players back, and maybe like you'll see Jota for a cameo, Arthur back for a cameo. It'll just give us sort of lift, you know what I'm saying? Getting these quality players back into the squad, Thiago as well, and hopefully we can kind of maybe sneak a win or get a decent result. But yeah, that's been us. It's Kev Podcast. I'm just hoping we're able to kind of turn around this form and kind of let's get on a good run. If we get on a good run, I think the players' confidence will come back and we could just start winning games. We could start, you know what I'm saying, just slowly take them a game at a time, and yeah, let's get back to it. But yeah, boys, thanks for joining me on this
optimistic, yeah. Sorry to
Yeah, go on.
If we're optimistic, we've been shit. We're 1 point behind Chelsea. We're 2 points behind United, and we're 6 points off top. That's not bad.
Yeah, 5 points off Man City.
Yeah, it's not terrible still.
And we came back from that last year. We came back from a bigger points deficit last year. So, yeah, that's a great way to end the pod. Thanks for listening.
Just on that, Mike. Sorry. With that, if we can remember, our head-to-head wasn't fantastic. It was beating the other teams that we should beat.
Yeah.
But the head-to-head against big teams. If we take points off people that on the bigger teams, we'll be fine.
Yeah, for sure. Because that will make up for these rubbish results that we've got against the smaller teams.
Exactly. So we need to improve our head-to-head this season.
So, yeah, I think we've got Arsenal coming up. If you beat them and or maybe get a result against Man City, I mean, I'm saying these are results that people maybe expect us to get a draw in or lose. Then we can make up for these rubbish results that we've got at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I think that's a great point. But, yeah, catch us next week. Catch us always here every Wednesday. And yeah, that's been us. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.